It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Omega Biliga, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my leader. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Pastor. How are you?
I'm very fine.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today is, what is the Christian perspective on mental illness and its treatment?
Okay. The Christian perspective on what mental illness is, as I respond to this very unique question, I want first of all to define just mental illness. A mental illness, in a simpler way, I can say a healthy problem that affects the mind. Yeah, that's what mental illness is. Now, as we speak of in the circles of Christianity, us being followers of Jesus Christ, and how was Christ going to treat a mental illness? If Christ was at our time here, how was he going to treat a mental illness?
Forgive me, Mfundis, just before you get there to the treatment, where do you get your definition of a mental illness? You said a healthy problem that affects the mind? Kindly share where you got that definition.
I got this one from the World Organization.
The World Organization?
Yes.
I don't know that organization, Mfundis. Which organization is this?
The World Health.
Ah, there you go. The World Health Organization.
Yes, there are many, but I picked up on this one, the simplest one.
I see.
Yes, there were many definitions, but I settled for this one so that I can just get on point and talk on what mental illness is.
Yeah, well, I'm asking for this because there should be one definition, not many, unless we're talking about different kinds of disorders. Yes, there are many disorders, but we are now trying to get a working definition of mental illness, which you will not find with the World Health Organization.
Okay, so on this definition that I've given, as I was doing my research, I came up with my own definition to simplify it. Yes.
Right.
So in simplifying to define what mental illness is, I just wanted to go direct on what mental illness is. So it has to do something with the mind. That's mental. So I came to summarize from what I was researching and said a mental illness problem is a healthy problem that affects the mind.
I say this question, Mfundisi, with all the humility I can conjure up, because there is no way we can call it an illness if it's healthy. That's not even oxymoronic. It's contradictory. If it's healthy, it's not illness. But if it's illness, it's not healthy.
Okay. I get it. When we... Okay. So when you talk of something healthy, something that is well in terms of in well-being, everything must be okay. But it's a condition. It's a condition that affects the mind, in short.
Do we have a Christian biblical Toranic definition? Perhaps is there a way we can glean a definition from the Bible or the Torah? Perhaps We're trying to define mental illness, Mfundis. Is there anywhere in Scripture where we can see mental illness defined or referenced in any way, shape, or form?
Like in my research, I did not come across a straightforward definition from the biblical perspective. But all in all, I came across verses that were going to help out to understand what mental illness is, and how best we can be able to overcome and help Christians, those that are facing this kind of condition.
Okay. Go ahead. Share with us the verses, Mfundisi. That's all right.
Yes. So, like I said, it is a very complex. In as much as I said, it's a healthy condition that affects the mind. We need to understand that. It is a very complex issue or matter. Now, as it is a complex matter, that's what I wanted to bring about, saying if Christianity or the word Christians comes from the word Christ, so meaning we are followers of Christ Jesus. So if Christ, how would Christ treat a mental illness? How was he going to treat it if he was at our time? Because at that time, he treated any condition to him. There is no condition that is greater than the other to Christ. So even to us as Christians, it being a mental illness, it is something that we treat as any condition. We can treat it as any condition in the sense that we still need to take everything to God in prayer. And the other thing that we need to learn is that on the mental illness, for us to assist the people as Christians, we need to approach it with compassion. We need to have compassion. Without compassion, we cannot be able to help the people that are facing that condition.
So I suspect, Mfundisi, one of the problems that we will encounter is the inability of an ordinary, untrained mind, an untrained person to determine whether somebody is suffering from a mental illness, especially if we're going to say we are Christians. We may not be able to see a person and be able to diagnose a person to have any mental illness of any ilk. That's why I was suggesting perhaps if you were to give us a Bible character, perhaps, or a scenario that leads you to believe that this is the actual definition of mental illness. Do you have?
Okay. I can give a story.
Okay.
Yeah, and the story I can give is that of Region.
Say that again, please.
The story I can give is that of Region.
Region.
Yes.
Is that
the man that was at the tomb, the man that was at the tomb for many years, that man who met Christ Jesus, and after meeting Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus made that man war again, because many people ran away from that man, and he was living or staying in the tombs because of his condition.
No. That man is not named in the Bible. There is no name called Region. But I do suspect you're referring to the person who was possessed by demons. And
yes.
When Jesus asked them, "Who are you?" And they say, "We are Legion."
Legions, yes. So I'm referring to the same man that had a lot of demons.
Okay. Go ahead, Mfundisi. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when we look at the encounter of Christ and that man that had a lot of demons in him, and when he was asked, he says, "No, we are a region." We see Christ now commanding, and the demons left that person. And when you see that man, his condition was, it has to do also, it cuttered on the part of the mental illness in that person, because a person that is normal cannot go and sleep in the graveyards for so many days, or even just a day, going to sleep in the graveyard to do what? So when you look at that, you learn that when Christ comes and he heals this person, there was that component in that person that was, the mental was not straightforward. And because of Christ comes in now and he helps the man, and the mental state now comes back to normal. And when the mental state has come back to normal, he says, "Let me follow you." But Christ says, "No, you go back and tell your people what you've seen, what has happened to you." So there's an aspect of the mental. That's what I was saying, Kuli. Some mental illness are demonically possessed. They need to be addressed by prayer. But some, they need a professional, a person that has learned counseling, a person that has learned in that angle to do with mental conditions, so that they can give guidance, and they can be given the medication that they need as they continue to seek God in prayer to assist them in their mental illness.
Is Mfundisi saying demon possession is mental illness, or mental illness is a demon possession?
I was saying some conditions in terms of mental illness, it's not all that are straightforward. Some come as a result of demons, and some come just as a condition, just normal, without any demons.
Okay. So,
yes.
How do we arrive at the conclusion that the presence of Legion in the man in the graveyard was mental illness?
When we look at that man who had a lot of demons right. within him, Mary Jonah, when we look at the characteristics of that man, we look at the characteristics of the people that are mentally, that are mad in short, that are not normal upstairs. Yeah, there is no much difference. That's why I was able to relate to that man who had a lot of demons as he, to having a component of a mental illness within him that was there in him. That is where I even came to conclude now on the aspect of saying some people that have got mental illness, others it has been a result of demons, and others it has been a result of just normal. That's why some people you discover that when they have got challenges in terms of their mental condition, maybe at Chinama Hospital where we take those people that are not mentally healthy, some you pray for them, they are healed. But some you can still pray for them, then they have to still take what medication from taking medication and taking counseling from professional people that are in that sector. They are also assisted and they improve in that angle.
So how do Christians determine whether a person is demon-possessed and therefore mentally ill? Or
when they're mentally
ill and therefore demon-possessed? How do Christians make that determination?
Okay, how, in short, you are trying to ask, how can you differentiate between one who is mentally, who've got a mental illness, maybe by demon possessed, and one who just has a normal mental illness?
Yes, I'm curious to know if there's the Christian community has a way of diagnosing mental illness.
All right, thank you very much. The Christian community, I would say they do not have that.
Okay.
But the ones that have this, like I registered in the first place, are people that are trained. And these same people that are trained, again, still they come from the same Christian community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes. So this, the people, the mental nurses, yeah, there is something like nurses that are specifically to deal with mental illness. Those nurses and those doctors, when they look at a person, they're able to assess, when they are done assessing, this person is not mentally stable. And the best example I was going to give was just within my circle, I have one that has that condition of mental illness within my circles. And that person, we as a family came to see, okay, things are not okay. Then we took him to the hospital. Then at the hospital there, they said, no, he's not mentally fit. And because he's got a mental illness, he will not even manage to continue with his work. Hence, therefore, he needs to be discharged on medical grounds. And that happened. When that happened, that man, because of compassion, as a family coming out together to help that man, taking him to the hospital, there is a great improvement. And through prayer, God is working out things, and things are moving in that angle.
Okay, so how do, assuming that the medical professionals, whether it is nurses in the nursing science field who have qualifications to diagnose, or doctors who have diagnosed one to be mentally ill, what role does the Christian community play? What role does Christianity play in the psychiatric and psychological field?
Okay. So the Christian community has got a very big role that they can play in terms of helping those people with that condition, in the sense that they need to, first of all, pray for the person, and that they still need to have compassion, and they still need to have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible is very clear as it admonishes us in the book of Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Right.
Yes, and when we read in the book of Philippians 4:6, the Bible says, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request unto God and made them known to him, and he will surely come through for you. God still is our refuge and our strength and ever present help in all troubles or challenges that we encounter in our lives.
Right.
So as Christians, as we meet neighbors, friends, or even our relatives that have this condition of mental illness, it is to us again to still run unto God and encourage them, to tell them the Lord is still our refuge and the Lord will still do what we cannot do for ourselves.
All right. So talk to me, Mfundisi. I have a few characters in the Bible that I want to share with you. And one such character is the character of David, a famous character of David who pretended to be insane, who pretended to be mentally ill. Do you remember the story? I think we've lost the pastor there. I think we've lost the line to the pastor. Mfundisi, can you hear me? Mfundisi, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me,
Mfundisi? Yes, I'm still there.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can.
Yeah. So I was hoping you would help me with a few characters in the Bible, Mfundisi, that the Bible suggests they may have been mentally ill or feigned mental illness. And such a character is an example of David. Do you remember David pretending to be ill? Mentally ill?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Mfundisi?
I don't recall that one.
You don't remember the story of David pretending to be ill, mentally ill?
Pretending. No, I've not yet come across that one.
Okay. David, I'm reading this from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21.
Okay.
It reads, David went on his way and Jonathan returned to town. David went to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech was alarmed. He went out to greet David. What are you doing here all by yourself and not a soul with you? David answered Ahimelech, the priest. The king sent me on a mission and gave strict orders. This is to top secret. Not a word of this to a soul. I've arranged to meet up with my men in a certain place. Now, what's there here to eat? Do you have 5 loaves of bread? Give me whatever you can scrounge up. I don't have any regular bread on hand, said the priest. I only have holy bread. If your men have not slept with women recently, it's yours. David said, none of us has touched a woman. I always do it this way. When I'm on a mission, my men abstain from sex. Even when it is an ordinary mission, we do that. How much more on this holy mission? So the priest gave them the holy bread. It was the only bread he had, bread of the presence that had been removed from God's presence and replaced by fresh bread. At the same time, one of Saul's officials was present that day, keeping a religious vow. His name was Doeg the Edomite. He was chief of Saul's shepherds. David asked Ahimelech, do you have a spear or sword of any kind around here? I didn't have a chance to grab my weapons. The king's mission was urgent and I felt in a hurry. The priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine you killed at Oak Valley, that's here. It's behind the ephod, wrapped in a cloth. If you want it, take it. There is nothing else there. Oh, said David, there is no sword like that. Give it to me. And at that David shot out of there, running for his life from Saul. He went to Achish, king of Gath. When the servants of Achish saw him, they said, can this be David, the famous David? Is this the one they sing of at their dance? Saul kings kills by 1,000, David by the 10,000? When David realized that he had been recognized, he panicked. Now here's the point, Mfundisi. Fearing the worst from Achish, king of Gath. So right there, while they were looking at him, he pretended to go crazy, pounding his head on the city gate and foaming of the mouth, spitting, dripping from his breath, from his beard. Achish took one look at him and said to his servants, can't you see he's crazy? What did you let him in here? Why? Don't you think I have enough crazy people to put up with as it is without adding another? Get him out of here. That's the story, Mfundisi, there in chapter 21 of the book of 1 Samuel. Do you recognize that story?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recognize the story, Mfundisi?
I don't remember it.
Okay, so do tell. The Bible says that he pretended to be crazy.
Uh-huh, he pretended. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my worry there is these examples, him pounding his head and so forth. Is it possible that he was mimicking something that has nothing to do with demon possession, but just a mental illness? No demons, just mental illness. Is it possible?
There on that aspect, on that in this scenario, there is no aspect of demon possessed.
Right.
I say this, that one.
Yeah. I say this, Mfundisi, because even with the story of the demoniac, which was possessed by a legion of demons, there is no mention of mental illness there. I'm wondering if there is a possibility that demon possession is not mental illness, and mental illness is not demon possession. Is it possible, Pastor?
On this one, I think let me do a little bit of still some research on this one. But for now, I'll still stand and say, not all mental illness come from God, and not all mental illness, see, again, come from maybe possession.
Do we have an example of mental illness that is clearly stated to have come from demon possession?
Like I said, at first, I wanted to bring about the same story of that man who was possessed in the Bible.
Does the Bible say he had a mental illness, or does the Bible say he had...
It doesn't, but the reason as to why I arrived on him is, concluding in that angle, it is because of the characteristics that were around him.
Right.
Yes, this is a person that they tie, he removes those things, he runs away, he's just in places where they are not, where normal people cannot be found there.
Right.
And people that have got a mental illness to the extreme, they are not found where normal people are found. They don't do normal things that normal people do. So this person was in a place where people must not be found and was doing things that were not normal, that normal people cannot do. Those are things that this person was doing because of the characteristics that were surrounding him. That is why I came to conclude on that angle. And for the subject or the story of David, where he pretended, he was not.
I understand. So let me follow your train of thought, Mfundisi. This demoniac, which was possessed by a legion of demons, was exhibiting characteristics that normal people do not exhibit. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
So we have John the Revelator, who exhibited very same characteristics. He could not stay with normal people. Whilst he was still with normal people, he was exhibiting behavior of seeing things that other people could not see. He was not eating what other people are eating. When they exiled him to the island of Patmos, there he continued not to eat the food that was eaten by the soldiers there. He ate grasshoppers and all sorts of things that other people, normal people, don't eat. Though he did not have any eyes, he claimed to have seen things shown to him by God. All these things that are not normal. Surely, are we not mistaken when we're saying people who are abnormal and are doing abnormal things are mentally ill? Surely, John the Revelator was not mentally ill, was he?
In the set of John the Revelator, I guess, and maybe on my perspective, I see it to be a whole different scenario.
Absolutely. So he was not, even though he was abnormal and he was behaving abnormally, not like normal people, we can't say he was mentally ill, can we?
No, he was not mentally ill. For right. John the Revelator, again, the whole scenario of the Revelator is a very interesting one in the sense that the Holy Spirit fell on him.
Right.
Yes, and I think everything that was happening there, he was led, and he was led by God.
Let's talk.
He was led by the Spirit of God.
Absolutely, even though he was exhibiting abnormal behavior, isn't it?
Yes.
And now, the biggest example of all, Jesus himself, the Messiah.
Yes.
Jesus spent 40 days talking to what other people could not see. Just like Paul, he was talking to things that other people could not see. The Bible says the people who were with Paul, they could not see who Paul was talking to or Saul at the time. And yet he was talking to whoever struck him blind. Surely Saul was not mentally ill. Jesus himself, when he stood at the devil talking to this being that nobody else could see, he was not mentally ill, right?
Yes, he was not mentally ill, because even in the subject of Saul, so because he was also led by the Spirit of God.
Right. So the fact that people are exhibiting abnormal behavior does not necessarily mean they're mentally ill now, does it?
Okay. Interesting. Because, to some people, I've said, to some people, I've concluded saying, there's always a percentage
of
abnormality.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. In every person. So I think at some point you discover that if we go deep into this,
yes.
At some point all of us or most
yes.
of us
That's a brilliant point right there.
But we forget that one, because our focus is on those that are showing me, are showing at 36.
Big signs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, big signs. I think that is where our major focus in this life, that's where we throw it. But in the normal sense, we all know this. There are times that we do normal and things that people are not doing.
Yes.
There are things that we just want to be maybe alone, isolated, those issues that, you know, that we don't normally do every day, and we are all victims at some point. That's why the Bible still concludes and says, come ye that labor,
okay,
and I'll give you rest.
What is we're going to leave it right there on that note. All of us are mad to some extent.
We all need the Christ.
I'm giving up for this. All of us are mad, and as such, we need the Master. We need the great physician.
We need the good physician.
Yes. Oh, you took me off guard there. No, you're right, Mfundisi. You're absolutely correct. And it's just a measure of degrees of madness.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise all of us need the Messiah. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi. I'm looking forward to our conversation tomorrow. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi.
All right, well, thank you very much, Sevo, and Minister Well.
Ngozi, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.